So today is the Tiru Bhav Mahotsava, the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. So the schedule will be, the Krishna Club is going to do a Gita Jayanti, so I have to finish at 8:30. Thank you. So I'll give a short class and leave some time for any comments and questions. So I'll probably finish around 8:20 and then open it up for discussion. Let us begin by, if you know the mantras, you can chant along with me. There are 4 pranam mantras for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So I actually had a verse planned on the board, but no one's written it up, which I understand because it's the Christmas marathon or the Prabhupada marathon, so people are otherwise busy. Anyway, repeat with me if you know the words. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktis Siddhanta Sarasvati Tinamani Sri Barshabhanave Devi Doitaya Kripaptaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yojvala Premaja Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarini Rupa Nuga Varudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harini. So I'll read the meaning. First one. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Barshabhanavi Devi Doyata Das, another name for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, who delivers devotional service enriched with conjugal love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So what I decided to do was read some of the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and also some of the words of Srila Prabhupada. Here is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati reflecting upon his initiation. And I've taken a few selection from some parts of his life, so this is not a complete description of how he described his initiation, because I've had to cut and paste bits in order to fit it all in. But here's what he said. Remember, this was in 1900, he took initiation. And if we know the pastime, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, who we can see here next to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he didn't have any disciples. And actually, when he was approached for initiation by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was then known as Vimala Prasad Hare Krishna, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "I once took a disciple and he cheated me." So his attitude was he was not going to take any more disciples. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he begged, he asked, "Please accept me." And there's a little Leela went on. First time he came back, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "I forgot to ask Gaura if I should initiate you." He came back again, he goes, "I asked him and he did not reply." And he came back again, and like this, it went on like this a few times. And finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was in tears, and he resolved, he said, I do not want to continue my life if I cannot take initiation from you. And that was the time when Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he took some of the dust from his feet and he put it on his head and he accepted him. So here's how he reflects upon this incident. "When out of false ego, I was thinking, I am a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pundit come at any time, day or night, I will cut his propositions to pieces. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me, my truthfulness, my moral and pious life, and my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be, who could neglect so many good qualities in me, that what inconceivable wealth he possessed. And he continues, I had considered my Gurudev to be unequaled in Vairagya, but somewhat short of learning. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be the highest ideal was in fact most low and despicable. When by his grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. On another occasion, he reflects as follows. On receiving a jerk of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev, for the span of 1 year I lost all sense of this external cosmos. Now, who can say that when they got initiation? Did you lose your sense of the external cosmos? Do you see the power? I did not know whether any transcendental agent equal to him has ever appeared in this plane. How may those who are preoccupied with worldly lust, anger, and so on ever know him? Here's a short extract from Prabhupadaer Upadeshamrita, which means the instructions of Prabhupada, which is referring to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, just to indicate his mood. The true holy person carries a sharpened sword with which he beheads the goat-like tendencies to enjoy and renounce, sacrificing them on the altar of devotion. Such a person is the true spiritual master. So we know that enjoyment and renunciation are both, what's the word here? They are goat-like tendencies. Bhukti, mukti, spriha, yavat, pishachi, ridivartati. They're like witches. Bhukti, the desire to enjoy this material world, is like a witch in the heart. And so is mukti, the desire for liberation. Therefore, we aim for the plane of devotion, which is beyond both these desires. Now here's something from the Harmonist magazine, a magazine that was started by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. The truth, satya, is propagated in a twofold way, positively or by the method of direct support and negatively by the method of opposition. The truth cannot be made sufficiently known by the positive method alone. Propaganda by the method of opposition, more than the presentation of the positive aspect, brings about more brilliantly in this world the appearance and glorification of the truth. The positive method by itself is not the most effective mode of propaganda in a controversial age like the present. The negative method, which seeks to differentiate the truth from non-truth in all its forms, is even better calculated to convey the directly inconceivable significance of the absolute. It is a necessity which cannot be conscientiously avoided by the dedicated preacher of the truth if he wants to be a loyal servant of Godhead. The method is sure to create an atmosphere of controversy in which it is easy to lose one's balance of judgment. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was known to be very fiery, very fierce in his opposition to non-truth. And here we get an indication as to why that was his way of operating. Because, as he says, the glorification and the appearance of the absolute is brought about more so by defeating the false arguments than just by simply glorifying the absolute truth. So this is he's known as the chopping guru. Srila Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati used to chop, and he was criticized for this. But those who criticized, what happened to them? They fell down. That's how Prabhupada describes it. So there we get an indication of the uncompromising nature of the sadhu. Now here's a letter by Srila Prabhupada to Karandar, who was at the time was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, 1973. And he's, Prabhupada's referring to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. When my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned, so we should be like that as far as possible. No compromise. Ram, Krishna, avatars, yogis, everyone was enemy to Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some godbrothers complained that this preaching was chopping technique and it would not be successful. But we have seen that those who criticized, they fell down. For my part, I have taken up the policy of my Guru Maharaj. No compromise. All these so-called scholars, scientists, philosophers who do not accept Krishna are nothing more than rascals, fools, lowest of mankind. Kijai. Okay, here's the last address, or a segment of the last address of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So this was the 23rd of December, 1936. And it was noted down by one of his disciples, Sundarananda Prabhu. I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion toward the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so they might turn their face toward the personality of Godhead without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. Surely some day they will be able to understand that. All of you propagate the message of Rupa Raghunath with supreme enthusiasm. Our ultimate desire is to become dust at the lotus feet of the Rupanugas. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha for the sake of serving the Advaya Gyan. So that needs a little bit of unpacking. What is the Ashraya Vigraha? Anyone like to offer an answer? There's actually two answers I know of this. One of the answers is Srimati Radharani, Ashraya Vigraha, and also the Guru is the Ashraya Vigraha. It means that we take shelter. We take shelter of the Guru. We take shelter of Radharani. It said, Chamach Chabalam Prabhaji, Chabalach Chamam Prabhaji in the Upanishad. By taking shelter of, or by praying to Krishna, we get the mercy of, or sorry, by the mercy of Krishna, we get the shelter of Radharani. And by the mercy of Radharani, we get the shelter of Krishna. And Advaya Gyan, we know, Vedanti Tat Tatva Vedas Tatvam Yaj Gyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabjati. The Advaya Gyan, the non-dual truth, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has three features, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj continues. This is his final address, just to remind you. In this ephemeral sphere, you should live somehow or other only for Hari Bhajan. In spite of all dangers, criticisms, and discomforts, do not give up Hari Bhajan. Don't be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept topics of the unduplicitous Krishna Seva. Do not forsake your own bhajan for Krishna Katha Shravana Kirtan, which is your all in all. With humility like a straw and forbearance like a tree, you should always perform Hari Kirtan. Let our bodies, which are like those of aged oxen, be offered into Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. We do not aspire to be any kind of heroes of karma or dharma, but our constitutional position and all in all is to in every birth become dust at Sri Rupa Raghunath's lotus feet, and so on. Okay, now we go to the 31st of December, 1936, and I'll read you to you the final message. And just to let you know, where am I getting this from? It's from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. It is the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, which was written by Bhaktivikas Swami, who for many years was going around India meeting and interviewing the, did he ever see a direct disciple? Yes, disciples and also grand disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati from the various branches that came from the Gaudiya Math. And it's a wonderful book. It's in three volumes. Rupa Vilas Prabhu has also written a wonderful book, Ray of Vishnu, which I would recommend you read first. And if you want to delve deeper and deeper into the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and his teachings, then move on to the trilogy of written by Bhakti Vikaswami. So here's what Bhaktisiddhanta Swami uttered. Now, he says, he begins, "O Pranavananda Prabhu." So Pranavananda, he actually became Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He was one of the most prominent disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. There's an interesting pastime. On the day or the day before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj departed, he was singing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had a beautiful voice, Pranavananda. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped him and he asked Bhakti Rakshat Sridhar Maharaj, another prominent disciple of his, to sing. So Pranavananda, who of course later on became Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, he didn't get his chance, you know, he lost his chance, so he felt a little bit, you know, hurt almost. Anyway, our Srila Prabhupada knew this. So when Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj came to Vrindavan shortly before Srila Prabhupada departed, he said to Pramod Puri Maharaj, he said, "I have one request. Can you grant me one request?" And Puri Maharaj said, "Yes, anything." He said, "I want you to sing. I want you to sing for me when I depart." So he's actually given him a chance to get to sing. And so he sung Jaya Radha, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. And by doing this, in his consciousness, Prabhupada was going on parikram. Because if we remember, his body was so weak, he wanted to go on parikram. And then his disciples were equivocating, should we or shouldn't we? And it was a very dramatic time because the emotions were high, but they were fearing if they took Prabhupada on parikram, he might leave his body. So Prabhupada, he said, "You sing." So as he's singing, "Jai Radha, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan," as he's singing this, in his mind, Prabhupada is visiting all the places of Vrindavan. So he got to go on parikram, even though he was still in his bed, you see. So it was like a little favor. And actually, he then said, "I want to give you something." So Pramod Puri Maharaj, he said, "Oh, please, please." So then he called one of his disciples, and with a plate of halava, and he took a bit of halava, and he said, "You take this halava." Now, before I explain what happened next, there's another part of the pastime. Many years ago, when Prabhupada came to India with his disciples, Pramod Puri Maharaj, he visited him, and Prabhupada noticed that he would not take prasadam from the disciples of Prabhupada because they were Westerners, they didn't have very good practice. He was like a Pukka Brahmin. So Prabhupada noted this. And later on, when Pramod Puri Maharaj, he once wrote to Prabhupada and said, you have a very spectacularly wealthy society. I have been given a dilapidated temple. I want to renovate it. Can you give me some money?" Prabhupada wrote back and goes, "You're right. I have much great money. I'm selling all these books and making so much money. However, you're a Pukka Brahmin. You can't take the money that's been touched by these mlechas." So he got his own back on him. Anyway, let's go back. So when Pramod Puri Maharaj, this time he took the prasadam. He learned his lesson. And he described it because Mula Prakriti, Prabhupada disciple, she interviewed him. And he said, when he took that palava, he got a realization. Yes, the science of Krishna consciousness is available for everyone. And that's when he dropped his kind of caste consciousness. He was thinking, because before he realized, actually, even though these Westerners, they're not practicing to a high standard, he understood the universality of it all. So it's a wonderful pastime. So this is Pranavananda Prabhu. So here's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. "O Pranavananda Prabhu." Pranavananda then asked, "How are you feeling, Prabhupada?" Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati murmured, oh, Krishna, Krishna." Hardly had Pranavananda left the room when he was called back by Krishnananda Prabhu. "Pranavananda, come quickly, it's over." So these were his last words, oh, Krishna, Krishna, wonderful. And actually, just before that, his final message, "All of you present and absent, accept my blessings. Remember that our sole duty and dharma is to propagate service to the Lord and his devotees." And I was wondering, see, there are two very, very important principles. One is Vaishnav Seva, the other is Nam Sankirtan. So I was wondering, what would be his last instruction? It was Vaishnav Seva, serve the devotees. Okay, here's a verse from the 11th canto, and it's said to be the most often quoted verse by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. "Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavanti manushyamartadam anicham apihadiraha tunam yatetana pated anumrityu yavan nishreyasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyad." After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even to the most abominable species, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. And this was actually spoken by the Avadhut Brahman, that King Yadu met. He's an Avadhut Brahman in the forest, and he learns from nature, and he instructed King Yadu, and that was instruction. So that's just a little beginning, and we could talk for hours on the glories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I feel like a lowly creature trying to glorify such a powerful, potent person. So I seek your blessings that I can say something relevant, especially from our two Prabhupada disciples. Very happy to see you both. Hare Krishna. So he's known as the Simha Guru. If you notice that some of the quotes I read out were in nature to the fierce nature. So it said the Guru is soft as a rose, hard as a thunderbolt. And his cutting words, they are very beneficial for us. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was so powerful intellectually that he could have actually united all the branches of Hinduism. And it was actually said that he could have done that. But instead, he chose to be very exclusive. He did not want to compromise. He didn't want to accommodate other philosophies. He was very strict in what he believed in and what should be practiced. So he took the parampara message and did not compromise it. Therefore, his mission was comparatively small compared to what it could have been. It was still huge. He set up 64 centers. He called those centers the Gaudiya Math. The headquarters is in the Chaitanya Math. So actually his body, his samadhi is at the Chaitanya Math. He left his body in Calcutta and he was taken through crowds of people. He was a very well-known personality, even by the general public. In fact, when he departed, there was a national day of, well, not a national, a day of mourning in Bengal. The whole of Bengal had a day of mourning for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And his departure was announced on the All India Radio. So that's how well known he was. Very powerful personality. So his body was taken from Calcutta to Navadvip, and it was taken on parikram to the various holy places. And finally, he was laid to rest in the samadhi is at the Chaitanya Math, which is quite close to the yoga pit. It's always a nice place to visit. And the samadhi of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj is also at that place. So it's a very wonderful place. And he's an interesting story. One time, Srila Prabhupada, he came from the West and he went straight to the Chandradaya Mandir. And some of his godbrothers criticized him. He said, he has come to India and he's driven right past the samadhi of his Guru Maharaj and he's not stopped. Prabhupada commented, he said, I am never separate from my Guru Maharaj. Because in his heart, his whole life was dedicated to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's quite famous for engaging things in Krishna's service. You know, anasaktasya vishayan yataram upayunjataha. Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vairagyam Uchati. Yukta Vairagya means to engage everything in connection with Krishna. So he was often criticized. Sometimes he would dress in a way that the ruling class, the British, would appreciate. He would wear like British clothes. He would drive around in an automobile. The Babaji's at Radhakund criticized him for this. So they thought, oh, here's a materialistic person. He's using things, you know, for his sense gratification. And also he compiled a wonderful verse, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bangi Matala Harijana Vishayarangi. This was composed at the opening of the Bagh Bazar temple. There was a big temple at the time in Calcutta. And the meaning of this statement is, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bangi, well, it has many meanings, but one of the meanings is, I keep the Ragapat, the path of Raganuga Bhakti, on my head. In other words, I am very fallen. I cannot attain that platform, but I worship it as my goal. So we have to have this humility that if we want to enter into elevated parts of devotional service, then we have to be humble and see it as something very much above us and don't claim to be on that platform. And the second line of this verse, Matala Harijana Vishayaranga, means the Harijan, the devotees, are matala, they're mad, they're intoxicated. What with? Vishayaranga. Vishayarangi means sense gratification. So it looks like they're enjoying their senses. Well, they are, but they're enjoying their senses in the spiritual platform. Because the whole mood of the Gaudiya Mat was like opulence. So, for example, they'd have their Govardhan Puja, and they'd have a big mound of lovely prasadam. So it was very opulent. Now, the opulence of ISKCON is far greater than what it was at the Gaudiya Mat. But compared to the time when sadhus were like living very, very simply, had no possessions, eating very simply, then to have like a big festival with a big mound of rice, that was like considered opulence. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says Vishayaranga, that the Vaishnavas are enjoying their senses, what he means is they're satisfying their senses spiritually through the process of taking everything after it's been offered to Krishna. And the Bagh Bazar temple was also a very opulent temple. Of course, later on, he regretted, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, he goes, I wish I could strip the marble off the temple and the walls and sell it in print books, because since I've created this big temple, the residents of the Gaudiya Mat, they're fighting with each other, so much politics. Then he said, Agun Jwalabi, that there will be fire. He predicted that after his departure, there would be fire. And of course, what happened after his departure? There was a fight, a struggle for supremacy, a struggle for who would control the Gaudiya Mat. And there were two people particularly involved in the struggle. One was Kunji Bihari, who was like the manager. And the other one was Ananta Vasudev. He was like the main spiritual authority. His mood was Hari Bhajan, discuss Krishna Gita, and live by the vani of the teaching, or the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Kunji Bihari was the manager. He was more serving the Vapu. The body means the body of the spiritual master means his organization. So these two camps, they ended up fighting. Now, before the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he said Kunja Bihari should be the lifelong manager. And he said to his disciples, and who is inspiring you most in your bhajan? And he said, well, we'd like to hear from Ananta Vasudev. He said he should continue to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath. So he kind of blessed both of them to have prominent positions. But after the departure, they ended up fighting. And Kunji Bihari, he even sold the printing press in order to pay for the legal fees. He was very legally minded, so he used the strategy of using the law courts to try and secure the temples. So Srila Prabhupada was very disappointed, and he said both parties were asar in one purport, meaning they'd lost their connection. Anyway, so let's talk about the printing press. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Has anyone seen the logo of the Gaudiya Mat? I'll try and describe it to you. It's a big circle, and in the center it says Om and Nam, and then round that circle is a Star of David, and it's got 6 points, as you know, and in each one is one of the opulences of the Absolute Truth. Aishvar Yashya Samagrasya, Vir Yashya Yashasha Shriya, Jnana Vairagya Chaiva, Shanam Bhaga Itingana. The opulences are Aishvarya, which means wealth or opulence, Viryasha, power, Yashasha, fame, Jnana means knowledge, Vairagya, renunciation, Shri means beauty. So all these are the opulences of the Absolute, and they appear as the six opulences as each point of the Star of David. And then on one side you have the word Vidhi, and on the other side you have the word Raga. So Vidhi represents the Pancharatriki, and Raga represents the Bhagavat Marg. So the two margs are there side by side. As our Srila Prabhupada said, in order to progress in Krishna consciousness, it's two tracks, Pancharatriki, which means the deity worship, and then Bhagavat Marg, which means Shravanam Kirtanam. So the two must go side by side, and this is indicated in the logo of the Gaudiya Mat. He has, on the Raga side, Bhagavat side, there's a mridanga and a printing press. On the other side, there's a lamp, and I think it's a chamara, I forget now. Anyway, the symbols of these two things are there. Then there's the Pancharatrikam. It's a book with the word Pancharatrikam written on it. There's another book with Bhagavatam written on it. So the two margs are nicely balanced. One time, someone criticized this logo. They said, why have you included the printing press? This is it is a foreign thing. You know, all your other logos, all your other thing is coming from the Vedic culture. Why you have a printing press? And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati replied, anything used in Krishna's service is spiritual. This printing press is very important. He called the book distribution the Brihat Madanga. Of course, our Srila Prabhupada, he took this term and he often said, the printing press is the Brihat Madanga. And he once offered his obeisances to the printing press. So back to Sanat Sarasvati, he wasn't just a very elevated philosopher. He was also very practical. And he could actually repair the printing press. So when it would break down, he would use his engineering talents to fix the problem, you see. So anything used in Krishna's service is spiritual. And of course, we're in the month where the Prabhupada Marathon is going on, so it's very important that we remember the importance of book distribution and the very great emphasis that both Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and Srila Prabhupada gave to the printing press. So let us continue. There are so many wonderful aspects to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and I only have around 5 or 10 more minutes to give some more things on that. I'll talk about one chapter of Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. It's called Seer and Seen. It's known as Drig Drishya Vachar. It's one of the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and we actually see these teachings propagated by Bhaktivedanta Swami as well. Who once said, don't try and see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So this is known as Drig Drishya Vachar, which means the philosophy of Drig, seer, Drishya, object of vision. So Krishna, he's the seer, and there's a word for that, Drashta. Drashta means the seer. The word Drishya means us. We are seen by Krishna. So if you want to know how to get divine revelation, it's not to see Krishna with our fleshy eyeballs, which aren't capable of seeing Krishna. It is to act in such a way that Krishna sees us. And when Krishna can cast his merciful glance upon us, then we will be flooded with realization and we will actually be able to perceive the absolute truth. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati, he has said, Kaivalyam narakayate Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate Durdantendriya Kala Saprapatale Pratkata Dangstrayate Vishvam Purna Sukayate Vidimahendra Dishtakitayate Yat Karuna Tatakshavai Bhavavatam Tamgoram Eva Stumaha. That when we get the merciful glance of Gaura, yeah, Karuna Kataksha, the merciful glance of Gaura, then our whole mindset changes, our whole world changes, our whole vision changes. We see Kaivalyam Narakayate, that merging into the Supreme is like hell. Tridasha Pushpayate, the position of the heavenly planets is just like flowers in the sky. It's an illusion. The senses become like the broken fangs of a serpent. They lose their power to distract us. Vishvam Purna Sakayati, the whole world becomes full of happiness for us. Why? Because we see everything in connection to Krishna. And Vidhi Mahendra Kati Ayati. That Vidhi, which means Lord Brahma, and Mahendra, which means Lord Shiva, they become insignificant, just like insects. So this is the power of devotional service. When we feel that devotional mood, then everything else becomes insignificant, and we get that from Karuna Kataksha, the merciful glance of Gaura. So that is becoming Drishya, the object of vision of the Lord. That is what realization means. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he said, real darshan means I come before the deities and I accept that they are seeing my real spiritual essence. They are seeing me. So we're come before the deity so that they can see us. It's like, you know, when you go to school, you have the attendance, and this teacher reads out the attendance, calls out your name, and you say, here, here, here. So it's like that when we take darshan. We're letting Krishna know, I am here. I have come before you. That is my duty. Please see me. And if we're fortunate, we will see them. We will see the deities with our spiritual vision. You see? We have to receive that vision. So that is, there's a whole chapter in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav on Drig Drishya Vichar, how we should act in such a way that Krishna sees us. We accept that we are the object of his vision. And the word for vision, the seeing, is darshan. So the three words, drashta, drishya, and darshan. Darshan means the act of seeing. So let us describe some of the similarities between Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. One time, someone saw the difference, and he said to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he said, you're so different from your Guru Maharaj. He was just doing bhajan, but you're very, very active. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati got very excited, and he explained, no, you don't understand, it's like this. And he gave the example of the battery. The battery is very inert, but all the power is coming through the battery. So we see so much motion is coming through the powerhouse, the battery. So he said, in the same way, my Guru Maharaj, he's the inspiration behind it all. And I'm very dynamic because I'm getting the inspiration from him. So they had opposite visions. Going back to the printing press, back to Sanat Sarasvati, he had this proposal to start printing books. And Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he said, why bother? No one's interested. You're better just to do your bhajan. Whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he very much encouraged Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati to do it. But as we know, in the absolute, contradictions are reconciled. Both statements are true. So, of course, Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he gave three instructions to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Do not associate with material people. Do not go to Kolkata. And do not take any disciples. And later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he reflected that he actually followed those three instructions. Because although he opened a temple in Calcutta, he did not actually go to Calcutta, because the Gaudiya Math temples, they were like the spiritual world. So he actually was living in the spiritual world all the time. And he did not take any disciples, because he saw all his disciples as his guru. And he did not associate with material people, because he took nothing from them. He was fixed in the parampara conception, and he only gave his association. He did not take their association. So as I said, he was very, very strict, and he did not compromise on the philosophy. But at the same time, he was very innovative and liberal in his preaching. So for example, he would create these, what were known as theistic exhibitions. And people from all over India would come and visit them, because they were huge. Acres and acres of land were dedicated to these exhibitions. But what's interesting was half the exhibition had very little to do with spiritual life. In fact, it was basically mundane subject matter, which was meant to attract people so that they would then see the spiritual aspect. So he had, for example, a circus. He had jujitsu fighting, animal husbandry, all these topics. They're not connected to Krishna. Of course, you can connect everything to Krishna. But then he had the dioramas. He had like the Bhagavatam stories in like forms, dioramas. And if you go to India even now, if you walk out of the ISKCON complex, you go and visit the other mats, you'll find some lovely dioramas in the other mats. So this was all very innovative. As Srila Prabhupada said, you know, why am I building this Chandradaya Mandir? He goes, I can just sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna. But then no one would come. That's what he said. So all this big endeavor, which appears to be materialism, actually, it's simply for one purpose, to bring people in contact to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj Ki Jai. So it's now 5:30. As I say, Krishna Club Gita Jayanti will soon begin, but there's no sign of any activity, so we can continue talking or we can take comments and questions. Thank you for tolerating me. Anyone like to add some comments? Or anyone have any questions?